Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Another exciting episode of Sisters United. Look, Glory, how are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
How was your day?
My day was well. I had a long day. I've been at home pretty much today. I didn't really go into the office today, so I worked from home today, did a little laundry, but I had a good day.
Awesome. And I'm so excited about our guest because we have known each other for a long, long, long time. So I'm not gonna like hold this whole thing up for a long time. And if y'all hear echo, mute and then unmute and all that good stuff. So Candace Blanks. I am so excited. I always tell people I stalk people. I'm watching you on Facebook. You think that I've disappeared. I have not. I'm hearing the echo, so somebody needs to mute. And so I was following you. Let me tell you, before you, you're going to introduce yourself, but I got to talk about, you know what clip I'm going to talk about, because Color Purple is my favorite movie, okay? And I saw you do a clip from the Color Purple. Now, boom. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Introduce yourself for all of those that are watching on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching it. Talk to us.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it. You know, it feels so weird to be on the other side because, you know, I introduce people on my show. So to be introduced on another show, it feels great. My name is Minister Candace Blanks. Well, you know, I'm not real big on titles, but I am a minister. I also do a lot of other things. I'm a poet. I'm an actress. I'm a comedian now. But other than that, I do a lot of other things here in the community in Houston, Texas. And I am so excited for what God is about to do in my life in this season. So that's kind of who I am. I wasn't trying to go down the whole list of things I do, but some of it.
But that's all right, because we need to hear the whole list. We need the whole list because, let me go back into time, like they said. I met Prosperity. That's who I met. And it was when I was first starting off interviewing people and I came out to the church and they set me up a room and I got to talk to Prosperity, honey. And the energy, I'm not surprised that you're a comedian. I'm not gonna lie to you, you know. Because I know every time I encountered you, we were laughing about something. You know, we were laughing about something. Let's talk about Prosperity. Because just to get the people to this point of where you are in your career, because, I mean, acting, you know, I'm talking about, you got a talk show. I've been watching, it's a lot. So let's start with Prosperity. Let's tell them how we met now.
Okay, you know, I know you by Pastor Jackson. So when I saw Queenie Daniels, and I was like, oh, this is Pastor Jackson. And so you met me as Prosperity. I mean, in the poetry world, my husband, Reginald Blanks, and I did a lot of community work with Teen Salvation. We are both are poets. And so when you met us, we were in the starting, elevating points of our poetry world, you know, and our ministry name is The Key to Prosperity in the poetry setting. So, you know, depending on which hat we got on. If we're a poet, we're the key to prosperity. If we're a TV show host, Candace Blanks, if, you know, we're a comedian, CB12, you know, like a lot of different hats we got going on here. And so, I mean, depending on what, where we're going, like today, you know, you was like, what you want to be called? I'm like, hey, I'm not real big on titles, Minister Blanks, because, I mean, at the end of the day, I am a minister, and everything that I do, I put ministry in it. And I had talked to my best friend Tiff, and I was like, girl, I ain't into no titles. I'm Candace, you know, like,
yeah. But see, my thing is, but you know, Candace, we run into people, man, that you got to call them, you know, apostle, prophetess, doctor, you know, MD 2020 and all that. You got to put all that in there, or they don't want to deal with you, you know. So I just try to make sure I respect even stage names. You know, people want you to call them their stage name. You get on here and call them Cleophas or something, baby, they about to have a fit.
I'm not real big on that, you know. At the end of the day, I was born Candace Blanks, you know, and I would die Candace Blanks, you know. So I'm my biggest thing is knowing where I am in the kingdom, you know, and kingdom don't worry about titles. And so my biggest thing is basically getting out there, giving the people what God is giving me to give them. If it's in poetry, do it in honor of God. If it's on the TV show, do it in honor of God. Everything that I do, from acting to whatever, you know, everything is in honor of God. And no matter what it is, you know, I want to make sure I give my best and give my all. And even in entrepreneurship, of course, I haven't been working in corporate America going on 8 years now. So that's a blessing within itself.
Listen, yes it is. Now, okay, talk show.
Yes,
talk to us. Okay, from poet, was it from poetry to talk show? How did you make that transition? Because I want people to that watch us tonight or whenever they watch us to know that with God all things are possible, and to explore every part of them, you know, for, like you said, you came out of corporate, you do poetry, then you talk show. Well, let's go first to talk show. How did you, tell us about the talk show?
Well, I got to first kind of tell my testimony. You're looking at somebody who almost died 3 times.
Jeez.
And so the talk show came about because one of my friends, my talk show is on Indy TV Network, Pastor Sam Julius. And so I was actually on one of my friend's shows that was on the network. And so God always orchestrates things no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And so as I was on the show, the producer came and was like, have you ever did a TV show host? And I was like, no, I've been a host at Reflections, our poetry, you know, venue, but I never did an actual TV show. And so he was like, pray about it and get back with me. And so it was a long time before I got back with him, because if you know me and my husband, we always been in the background. We've never been really in the forefront. It might look that way, but we always was in the background. We never wanted to be out front. We never wanted to be any of those things. And so when my friend asked me to come on her show to tell my testimony of what I experienced, you know, throughout these years, and to talk with Reggie and to get to his experience as he was taking care of me throughout these years, you know, that's how God kind of did that thing, you know. And I ended up accepting the position as a TV show host. Didn't know the impact that it was going to have, because it's called Healing for the Broken. And and many people are broken, you know, and they need to be healed. And the saying is, what, hurt people, but I always say heal people, And so in doing the talk show, I've been doing it now minus the COVID year, you know, it would have been four consecutive years, but it's been 3 years that I have been doing this show. And when it wasn't airing consecutively, most people was like calling me or inboxing me. It was like, when you gonna bring your show back on? And I was like, whoa, God, you know, what's you know, like, people really, even when I think people are not watching, people were really watching, and they really, you know, connected with the show or connected with the person that came on the show to tell their testimony. So that's kind of how I went from poetry to TV show, is that, you know, it kind of coincide together, but God just led me in a different path in a different season.
When you made this transition, was it difficult? You know, sometimes when we're starting something new, you know, God is showing us that we're able to do, I'll say God is, he stretches us, you know, and he, when you made the transition into this new, because that was a new place for you, how was the transition? How was it?
It was challenging. It was challenging because I never experienced the TV world. You know, like, I always was poet or actress, because I've been acting since I was in high school. So, you know, being out front wasn't, you know, necessarily the challenging part. It was more of being in front of a camera and all lights and action, and, you know, it's like, whoa, like, wait a minute, like, and saying different sayings, you know, like, just learning the TV side. The, you know, if you ever did a play, it's different from a movie, you know, the way that you do it. You know, in a play, you have to project your voice. In a movie, you can't project your voice like that, because it picks up loudly. So it was just learning how to do the difference in what I was used to, because I have a loud voice as it is. So I had to learn how to tone it down. I had to learn how to, you know, not do certain things because you're live. You know, so it was very challenging at first. And then when I got the hang of it, I became more comfortable with it, because I had a lot of takes.
Did you, I know, like you say, it was the transition was rough, but at any time in there, because I like to dig it, at any time in that, did you ever want to give up, or you ever felt like, you know what, you know, I'm bored with all, you know?
I wouldn't say necessarily bored. I did want to give it up a little bit right along with my business, because it was more of being tired, because I was being sick and trying to do those things was the most challenging for me, because at the last, before I took a break from the show, because I went into renal failure on my last show, I had shortness of breath, and I couldn't really, you know, I got through the show, praise God, but then the next time along, I was in the hospital for 7 days, and then after that, I was in surgery, you know. So I was pushing, you know, and I was pushing because I knew people was wanting, because every time I had something to do for God, I always got attacked in my health, no matter if it was in Team Salvation, no matter, because there was many of days with Team Salvation, you know, we was outside, I passed out, and most people didn't know that, you know, and so I kept pushing. So I think the most challenging part of it that made me want to quit was because of my health, because I was being tired a lot. I was fatigued. I was doing a lot of, I had a lot of those things going on with me that kind of made me want to bag out of it. Not that I was bored, I was having fun, but it was, I was trying to gather my strength, you know, and gather, you know, like the energy to keep pushing.
And what motivated me? Because I know, okay, before we talk about that, the family around you, because the key, listen, the boy, listen, talk, what kind of support system? I know, because I mean, come on, you were suffering in your body, you were still trying to move. What was going on around you personally? You know.
Wow. I would say just, oh my goodness, support system. First, with my husband, he supported me a lot because people don't know behind the scenes, he was my doctor and my nurse, you know, at home. Most people don't know I had a tube running in the back of me, going to the side of me. And so he had to actually change out those things as I was going. So my mom stepped up, thank God for mothers, because she stepped up with the kids. She came over, she actually stayed with me, helped me around the house doing stuff that I couldn't do. My church family stepped up, supported me. I mean, people that I didn't know. I mean, I was at a, see, God had to, during this time, God was dealing with me because I had an issue with trusting people, and I didn't think that people were true or real or genuine. And it was like God was teaching me that there are still genuine people out there. You know, like I didn't think that people, you know, it's either you do for me or I do for you. And if you don't do for me, then I won't do for you. And so that's all I saw. So to have genuine people, you know, outside of my immediate family to actually come and support me and love on me, that right there changed my heart disposition to God knew what he was doing. And it took this incident for that. And so my support system was strong, because when what really got me really going, and I'm about to cry now, Lord, was the time that I wanted to give up, the time that I wanted to really throw in the towel, and I didn't care if I died. Jeez. That's the moment where my daughter came to me and was like, "Mama, I don't want you to die."
Jeez.
And that was the moment that in my head I had to really snap back and stop being selfish and be selfless, because I'm not in this just for me. I'm in this for my four kids. I'm in this for my husband. I'm in this for those people who are giving up because they're going through something, you know, real hard. I had to really understand, because I kept asking God, why me? And God said, why not you? Because I know at the end of everything that you have gone through, I'm going to get the glory for it.
Come on.
I'm going to get the praise for it. See, so many people don't know I went through depression. I had to go see a counselor. I had to, because I had to, I literally didn't want to be around nobody. I didn't want nobody to see me like this. I was full of pride. Most people don't know that pride comes in so many different forms.
Yes, it does.
And so I literally had to snap back and just say, I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for everybody else around me. I got the win for them. I got the win for me. You know, I gained so much weight, you know, during this process. I gained, you know, because of the medicine I was on, and the way that my body was just reacting to so many different things. I mean, I felt I had I had like developed a like low self-esteem, you know, in addition to all of this. I mean, it was a lot going on mentally. And that's why I tell people mental health is real, because I experienced it. So me and Reggie always say, you see our glory, but you don't know our story.
Glory, come on. And the thing about it is, I mean, your ministry is so powerful. It's so powerful that God said, let me spread this. Let me, I don't want this just in the church. I need to spread this. Come on, hallelujah. I was reading your bio and I was like, God is, when God said, go ye therefore, he literally, oh my God, hallelujah. Amen. And it's like God just, as you walk that walk, God heals so many different areas of your life. Oh my God.
But the thing is, most people don't realize that people are not coming in the four walls anymore, the church. Mm-hmm. So you got to go outside the church, and you have to walk into your calling. Most people are afraid of their calling because it's so big, but you got to know that we got a big God. So your calling will be big. And so the thing is, was I afraid? Heck yeah. I was scared. You know, most people don't understand. I get so nervous. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I get so nervous when I act. I get nervous. The first time doing my comedy set, when I say I was so nervous, Lord Jesus.
Wait. Before you do it. First of all, wait a minute, ladies. Okay, let me introduce you to Rita.
Hello, hey, Rita. Hi.
Rita. Okay, and you met Glory. Do y'all have any questions for the woman of God? Because
I'm listening. I'm gazed in. Okay.
I'm having connection issues here, but. I did the fear part. That how did you learn how to overcome the fear or the anxiety of walking in your purpose or facing your purpose? Because I do find that's something that I actually deal with, overcoming fear and anxiety when you know you're supposed to be, you know what you're supposed to be doing, but then fear step in. How did you overcome and walk and start walking in your purpose without, I guess.
Well, to answer, that's a great question. Is basically do it scared. You got to do it scared, because even if because at the end of the day, somebody is tied to your purpose. Somebody is tied to you. And if you don't get whatever it is in you out at that very moment, somebody don't miss their blessing. It's not about you. And once you find yourself in that equation to know that it is not about you, it's for somebody else, you'll find yourself overcoming your fear. And in addition to that, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind. He knew that you was going to be afraid. That's why he gave us that scripture. He knew you had to walk into your calling and your purpose. So one of the things that my teacher taught me, Miss Vi Campbell Cunningham, she taught me this when I was in high school and in grade school. She said, you got to challenge your anxiety into energy and put it out through your voice. Mm-hmm. So that's why I speak like with confidence and boldly, because that's how she taught me all the years I was in school, because I was a nervous wreck where most people used to hear my nervousness through my voice. I used to stutter, or I used to sound like I was like cold. You know how somebody's kind of cold and they start stuttering? I used to do that. And so she said, you have to challenge all of that. And you have to, she gave me some like key points to do. Look over people's head if you don't want to look in their face. But you got to eventually look into a person's eyes and be comfortable. You know? Yeah. And so it's basically, that's what I did. That's what I started doing, was just being comfortable within what the purpose that God has for me. But then also, if you never get out there into what you're uncomfortable with, you'll never do it. You got like poetry. Oh my goodness. If I would never got out into my uncomfortable zone, I would never met my husband today.
Oh,
my husband is a poet. I met his friend before I met him, but I stepped into my uncomfortable zone for the first time and ended up meeting my Boaz. So I cannot. So you got to get uncomfortable to get
comfortable. Oh, come on. That's a word.
You got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable, because if you always walking in fear, you're not trusting God.
Oh, no.
Because when you trust God, he say, I got you. Mm-hmm. No matter what, I got you. And so when you walk out there and you do what God has for you, you never know where your blessings come in at, because you're disobedient. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're disobedient, then, and you don't do what God has told you to do, you miss out on your blessing and somebody else too.
Oh my God. That's
basically why I do it. Being a comedian, a producer saw me in a show and said, "You are funny. Oh my goodness, you are so funny." And so she said she's going to put me in her amateur comedy show. So I still do ministry, because at the end of the day, if I'm an actress, if I'm a comedian, a poet, you won't be hearing me cussing. You won't be hearing me out, because at the end of the day, I'm a minister, I'm a mama, and I'm a wife. I don't care. I don't compromise my belief system for anybody. At the end of the day, you will hear you at my comedy set. Was funny, but it was not any cursing. It was genuine stuff that me and my husband experienced throughout life. And I just created a funny way of saying it, or whatever the case may be. But I got the note, you know, somebody told me acting is acting, you know, in the cursing part. I said, let me tell you something, not for me. Because at the end of the day, I won't compromise my belief system or my faith or my children's ears. My children don't hear me cussing at the house. They're not going to hear me cussing in nothing I do. If it's something that you can't work with me on, well, then I don't need to be part of this. Because you want me to compromise something that I care not to do. So I have to stand my ground, because at the end of the day, when I get to heaven, God is going to judge me on my decision making. So in everything that you do, make sure that you don't compromise your belief system. But also, if you're afraid of doing it, take a deep breath, relax yourself, and say, okay, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it in honor of you. But then I'm also doing for everybody who's here, because somebody here might need to hear what I say. And they might not know who you are. And like you all probably already heard, you are sometimes the only Bible that some people get. So you got to walk into your purpose no matter what.
Jesus. That, you know, I formed this show for this very thing right here, because we as not just Black women, but Christian women, are challenged all the time, you know, in our careers, at the office, at, you know, like you said, with acting, different things that people want you to do, you know, the things they want you to compromise on. And I think it's such a blessing that you have shared that you helped, like I say, you've done all the saying, stand there for, you know, stand on the word, stand on what God said, and the door is still open for you. And a lot of people need to understand that. You tell what you believe, the door's still open, especially the ones that God meant for you to walk through. You know, like you said, you never would have met your husband. Come on. If you if you were sitting at home talking about, I'm not, look, And I wanted to talk about that going into being a comedian. Now, I know, first of all, I wasn't surprised, you know, but how did your family and friends react to you taking on a new role like that?
Well, if you really, really know me, and you wouldn't be surprised, because I am as goofy as it comes. And so for me to, I love making people laugh, literally. I love it. I love making people laugh. I love, you know, my brothers, they was like, but yeah, you got this. You're good. You know, like my mom and my dad and my husband, you know, my kids, on the other hand, they were like, mama, really? Really? Like, mama, really? You know, but at the same time, you know, they know that I love challenges. And so I was up for the challenge, even though Miss Rita, right? I was scared. Yeah. I was scared when I went up there, but it's something about when I go into action, my nervousness kind of just go away. It's like I get comfortable and I just boom, I go, you know, I get at it, you know, no matter what, you know, so all that nervousness go away. But I just, you know, getting into comedy, this is, I'm excited, you know. I think another one is just having that challenge and just going for doing something new. And everything that I do is kind of centered all around each other. TV yeah. show, comedian, poetry, everything kind of is in media. It's kind of in the same kind of area. So I just tie everything in together. You know, I'm a motivational speaker. So, you know, it just kind of, everything ties in together. So it's kind of not to transition from one to the next. You know, I just have to know my audience and know who I'm talking to. But besides that, that's kind of like everything kind of transitions smoothly together. So
Now, you know, I'm going to bring up Color Purple. I tried to bring it up at the top of the show. You told Hoppo, listen, I am Color Purple fanatic, you know. So what was going on when you did that reenactment? What was that? Talk.
I had an audition, and I was needing to do a video audition, and I needed to send it in as soon as possible. And I went to sleep and I woke up and was like, oh my goodness, I got to get this tape in. I got to get this audition in, right? And so literally I woke up and my hair was all over my head. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to go in character because I have no time to fix this head of mine. So I put on a hat I had from another play I was in. Literally, I was preparing the whole time. I was watching Oprah Winfrey, her mannerism in Color Purple. I was playing it all day, literally. So I kind of wanted to reenact what I saw as she was doing it. So my daughter, honestly, that video, you guys, I was at my house in front of my yard in a bush, and my daughter was the videographer, and she did a great job capturing that moment. And I had so much fun actually doing that clip. I did not know so many people watched it and commented on that clip. You're going to make me post it tonight on my page. Yeah. Right?
Look, I'm trying to post it right now. I'm trying to find it right now.
But I had so much fun with that clip to where I was like, God, you know what? Hey, use it.
Yeah. And I think laughter is very It should be a part of our regiment, the regiment of life. Because if you are that serious, you know, if you are serious every day on every, you got to laugh at something. I'm talking.
Yes.
I mean, and if you ain't got, look, laugh at the devil. I mean, you got to find.
You got, laugh is good for the soul. And what I found out while I was sick, I learned that when people laugh through their sickness, they actually get healed quicker. But when you are frowning and mad at the world because things are happening to you and this and that, you stay down. Your energy is low. My husband said, "Girl, if I never knew that you were sick, I wouldn't. I would have been feeling some kind of way, but you laughing." I literally, after I had my surgery, I literally was walking the next day. And the doctors and the nurses were surprised at how quick I was able to walk and stuff. Because me and my husband, we was laughing in the room with people, the doctors and nurses coming in. We laughing. They were like, "Girl, you were silly. Are you sure you sick?" I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, that's what you say, but the great physician says otherwise. He's healing me so I can get up out of here. Like, y'all need to come home with it." Like, like literally. So I took a moment and just created an atmosphere that I wanted to see. Literally, I created the same atmosphere as if I was at home or on a poetry set. I mean, we were just having fun. Like, we literally was playing church music and just doing just different things that I love doing while we was in the hospital. So, yeah.
Wow. Ladies, any questions?
I know, as far as your work and like being a mom, wife, like how do you balance as far as how do you find balance with the work and, you know, with family as well?
Ooh, girl, come on with that question, right? I was like, somebody was going to ask that question, yeah, right?
That's good.
Well, for one, a schedule. I live by a schedule. If you're not on the schedule, you would not be seeing me. And that's just real. I learned that with the company that I work with. I am a financial service agent, so I help people, you know, make money, save money, all that good stuff, right? And teach them about finances, you know. But at the end of the day, this company taught me so much about organizing your life through a schedule. And I was like, and when I first, before I got in this company, I was like, all over the place, you know. I was doing what I want to do, you know. But when as the kids got older, I got sons and football. I'm a football fanatic. Come on, Cowboys. Whoop whoop. Shout out. And you know what? I'm not from here. I'm from Dallas. So if somebody wants to make a comment, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I did adopt the Houston Astros. So just to say. But I got kids in sports. I got a daughter in dance. I got, you know, plus my stuff, plus Reggie's stuff. You know, he's a newfound author of his new book, you know, How Can I Lead If She Doesn't Want to Follow. So I'm helping him out with that stuff. I have to have a schedule. I have to organize outings, you know, meetings. I got to schedule everything, the time I cook, the time I study, the time I do everything, because the time I exercise, because that's one of the things that I've learned is that health is wealth. You got to be healthy. You got to be in the best shape possible to do this thing, you know, to expand the kingdom. You got to be in the best shape possible, because God is going to require you a lot out of you. God is going to require you to move around, to go different places, and you got to be in the best shape possible. And you looking at somebody that didn't exercise. You looking at somebody that ate sweets. You know, I'm working on it, right? You know, them sugary breads, right? Woo, Jesus. Man, but I had to get, but God had to teach me self-control. Galatians 5. I had to have self-control. I could eat those things, but in moderation. What we do nowadays is we overeat. And I can eat what I want to eat. Yeah, you are what you eat.
Literally.
You realize that you are what you eat. So whatever you put in, don't think that it's not gonna show on the outside. And so who you see right now before me is a new me. I'm embracing the newness that God is doing within inside of me first, because it has to be a mental switch. Mm-hmm. Something in your mind has to change to say, I want to do better. I want more. I want to, you know, get healthier. You know, I got healthy because of my experience through what was going on with me. But I also got healthier because I was diagnosed 11 years ago with neuropathy. So my that's a nervous disorder where my nerves would do whatever it want to do. I would swell up. I would be in pain all day, every day. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. But God graced me to where I went to go see a chiropractor, kind of got, you know, just start doing a lot of holistic things to cause me to feel better throughout the day. But it took me to a mindset switch because my business require a lot of my energy. My kids require a lot of my energy. My husband require a lot of my energy. Just taking the time out for myself required energy. So I started to develop a love for me first. Because if you know anything about an airplane, they say if something goes on the airplane, they say you put your oxygen mask on first and then help somebody else. See, I want people to understand. Let me tell you something. People think, or it may sound selfish to love on yourself, but it's not. Because if you don't love you first, how can you love anybody else? And the thing is, that was my issue. I loved everybody else and I neglected me. And I had to really, when I got sick, I didn't know how to deal with other people taking care of me because I took care of them. And so I had to learn how to embrace somebody else taking care of me. But then I had to realize that, gummit, I need to take care of me. I need to take care of me. Can't nobody take care of me like I can take care of me. So I had to learn, let me eat right. Let me read my Bible. Let me pray. Let me get into God's word more. Let me love on me. Let me date me. Let me see what I like now. Because I forgot everything about me that I liked. I like going outside. I'm a nature girl. I wasn't going outside. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't doing anything that I love. I was doing everything that everybody else loved, but I wasn't doing nothing that I love. And so the balance come with loving you, loving God first, loving you, loving your husband, loving your children. If you got children, husband, in that order, right? Because once you love you and you feel confident, and we sisters, right? So, you know, us sisters, we want to look good. We want to feel good. When we look good, we feel good, right? That's the natural of the thing. But you can't look good and feel good if you're tired, if you're sick, if you're all of those different things. So you got to get into a mindset of, I want to do this for me so that I can be the better me for everybody else.
Right.
And so me and another lady right now, we done started this exercise thing, right? You know, I don't look what I weigh, but But I feel what I weigh. So right now, honestly, what got me going to exercise, honestly, is my brother. My brother's a bodybuilder, and we actually went to one of his shows, and I didn't know what to expect at all. But there was a lady, it was a category called transitions, and there was a lady who weighed a lot of weight. But to see her on stage the way she is, and she didn't have, you know, how some people are like, I don't want to wear one of them bathing suit things, right? No, she didn't have none of that. She had on a beautiful ball gown, and they said her numbers of what she used to weigh to how she is now. I told my brother, I said, I want to do that. I want to transition. And that's what most people need to do. It's time for us women to get back the beauty of us internally so that it can show up externally. And so we have to know, we have to love us. We have to know that God loves us, and he don't want us to look any kind of way. Cause I believe Proverbs 31 woman, baby, she was fierce. Mm-hmm. And she represented, she had her own business. So she was an entrepreneur.
Come on.
She knew how to sew. She knew how to go make money. She knew how to take care of the family. She knew she stepped out in the finest. They didn't say she stepped out in rags. She stepped out in the finest. Now, that don't mean us women to go broke and get stilettos and red bottoms. Let me clarify that. You know, don't go broke if you got the money. But go get something nice. And then go make the money so that you can reward yourself for the efforts that you have already put forth. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people want to live like the Joneses. I never been that type of person. I've been so down to earth. Like my husband, I said, aren't you happy you married me? I ain't into all of that materialistic stuff. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you happy? You know, because if you know me, I got five brothers. You know, for me to be on this talk show talking about being cute, baby, I know this got to be nothing but God. Because I grew up with five brothers. Either you play sports or you watch sports or you did both. I was a tomboy. I didn't like dresses. I didn't like makeup. I ain't like none of that. So yeah. For you to see and for you to hear me talk about any of this stuff, I know that God is real, right? Because I wasn't into any of that. That's why I kind of relate to, it's like I hang out with more boys than girls, you know, and I had to pray about that, right? Because I said, God, I want women friends, because the women that I saw were messy. They were backbiting, two-faced it. They were, you know, and I'm like, no, you know what? Women are messy. Mm-mm. I can't hang with them. Like, I can't do it, you know? But God had to tell me that he had to show me and put in my life women that are the opposite. Because mm-hmm. I did not, no, Lord Jesus, you know, no. But God had to show me women that were not like that. That yeah, loved yeah. the Lord, that stood for righteousness, that walked it out, that were beautiful, gorgeous women, and they was doing the right things, you know? And I was like, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me that example and showing me. And I watch people. I watch how you live. I watch how you carry yourself. I watch people. You know, and my mom is prissy. I mean, I didn't pick up that trait. You know, she got the makeup going, and she my mom the bomb.com, right? But I didn't pick up that trait. Not until now, but it's just a simple fact. I want my daughter to see that you can be a woman, a wife, a mother. You can carry all these hats, a sister, a daughter. These are different hats that you put on. You can be a businesswoman.
Come on.
And do the things you need. You can be a wife. You can be all of these things. You don't have to be just one. And now, I don't, please, by all means, I am not knocking a housewife. I'm just not it.
I am
a businesswoman who happens to have a house. I'm a wife. I'm a different.
But you know what? But you know what? You did that right there. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was a housewife with my kids. You know, when my kids got grown, I was like, you know what? You know, but and it was a little hard for me to transition into that, because something in you know, old school was like, you gonna be at that house, you know. You ain't worried about no career, you better worry about that husband and them babies. You know. So it was. It we're in a new day and time where we experience the whole picture. You know, being able, like you say, to do all of these things and still be that powerful, strong Black woman of God. You know, it's wonderful.
And the thing is, you talk about balance, but that is the balance, right? You know, some people don't like that word balance, but that is the balance, knowing which hat to take off and put on at that time, you know, and know what it is that you are needing to do at that moment. And one of the things that was big with me, and I'm just telling off on myself, you know, I'm an open book anyway, but it's procrastination. Procrastination will sit here and mess you up. You know, everybody get the same 24 hours in a day, but what are you doing with your time? You know, a lot of times people say, well, I can't cook, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, you sitting there watching TV for 2 hours, you could be doing something. And I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm guilty of it. And that's why I can honestly tell you, you could be doing something that is constructive, that it doesn't take an hour, it takes 30 minutes, something to just straighten something up, to cook. You know, I was a you know Pastor Jackson, we was really into the ministry, so we was spending money going out to eat a lot, and I wasn't really cooking, you know, but I learned that we were eating up our financial future. And if you don't want to eat up your financial future, because when I got into financial services and I got into, you know, dealing with money and stuff, I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Woo, Jesus, you know, God says be a good steward over your money. And if you're not a good steward over your money, then you're eating it up or you're spending it up and you're not actually doing the things that you're needing to do with it. And so I started what? Cooking. Crock pot in it, right? You know, putting things in the crock pot. You don't even have to be over it. It cooks itself.
Yes.
It's like, don't make the excuse why you're not doing it. You know, you looking at somebody, let me tell you something, and I'm being very honest, and hopefully this is helping somebody who might be watching. I was the housewife in a sense of doing everything, cooking, cleaning, all of those things, right? In my previous marriage, I was married before I met my husband, Reggie. And I was doing all these things, and I was affected by it after my divorce. And you got to be careful what you tell yourself, women, because when you start making vows to yourself, what you're not going to do, what you X, Y, Z, it hinders your growth.
Yes, it does.
And so I told myself, baby, listen, I ain't doing that no more. No more. I ain't cooking, I ain't cleaning, I ain't doing that. I'ma do those things, but on my terms, right? Well, my husband looked ready like, babe, what you doing? Like, like you gonna cook? Not today. But not today. But God had to deal with me, because my heart was wax cold. It was hard. It was hurt. It was all of these things, right? And so by the grace of God, we have learned how to do those things. I have learned how to say, you know what? I had to say, you know what? This ain't working for my family. I got to cast down these vows I done made to myself. Lord Jesus, it's not working for my family, right? You know, because your family feeds, as women, our family feeds off of our reactions. Mm-hmm. Our family moves when we move as women. We really have to look at how are we gearing and directing our family, because we're the nurturers in our families, in our home. So, you know, I thank God for my best friend, because she, Lord Jesus, she is a big help for me. She's like, I'm telling, we both two peas in a pot. But I need her in my life. You know what I'm saying? I need her to help me and steer me. And that's one of the things I told God. I said, Lord, I just want to be a good friend, because I found myself friendless at one point. And I said, Lord, I just want friends in my life. Women, men, it doesn't matter what color you are. I got friends of all colors. You know, I don't got time for all of that, you know. All black, all, no, I got colors. I got friends of all colors, all races, right? Because right. You need everybody in your life in that season in your life.
Amen.
I hope that's something, that's the way y'all was wanting this conversation to go.
Hey, God do what he want to do. Oh, Sister United. Because guess what? Everything that you said is for whoever. Come on. Amen. I'm sitting here with my note, my pen and my paper. So I done wrote me down some stuff. Come on. That's what Sister United is about. We get together like this and we share our experiences, our testimonies. How do we make it? Even if we fail, because I'm telling you, listen, on one show we was talking about people getting on our nerves. Listen. I'm talking about, I don't want to jump in on the letter, you know. But we work it out, you know. God give us good nuggets. Today, God has used you to talk to us about being a better us, you know. Setting a schedule, you know, that's a big, big part of it. Not eating up our finances. Come on, out there just, we ain't a steward over our money. We just out there just, because I know I didn't eat about 150,000 chicken nuggets. Not gonna lie to you. I didn't eat 150,000 chicken nuggets. Jeez. Listen, Lord have mercy. My husband told me I was gonna turn into a chicken nugget. But while you was talking, I was thinking about how much money I done spent on them chicken nuggets, and if I would have kept it, how much money that would have been. Honey, we could have been on a cruise. Jesus, how many chicken nuggets. And Panda Express.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus. But, you know, it's also your testimony about how God covered and protected you and you kept on moving through such hard times as far as your health and all this stuff. I mean, this show right here is something else. God has really used you tonight. And I'm going to digress so the other host can maybe ask you more questions, say something, you know, because I done got everything I need.
I like the point. When you talked about moving forward, even in adversity, you know, because sometimes when we're trying to fulfill our purpose and we're trying to walk in our goals and we're trying to reach our destiny, and a lot of times we are faced with adversity and we get discouraged, to be honest. And so it's a wonderful thing to hear how, as long as you keep pushing, as long as you keep going and don't give up, that you will reach your destiny, you fulfill your purpose by never giving up. And so, I mean, it just blessed me to hear, because even in my walk right now, I face adversity and the opposition that comes with fulfilling your purpose or trying to reach your destiny or fulfilling your goals or whatever, and the opposition that comes with it is oftentimes you want to give up. You don't want to. Depression comes along, you get sad, you get all of this stuff, you know, just kind of clouds your mind. So But when you see other people and such like yourself, and you know, when you push past those points, that is possible, because if you're not around people that has fulfilled their goals, or not around people that has got past that point, you know, you need to be able to see people. So even what you're saying, that, well, a whole lot of stuff that you said tonight, actually, but that part, and then about the procrastination and the getting out your comfort zone, you know, that's a beautiful thing in itself as well, because sometimes we're so often comfortable, and it's something I'm really trying to get up because, you know, when you become, but I do realize that you cannot grow inside your comfort zone.
Okay.
And so when you spoke about that, that really spoke to me as well. But one thing I did want to ask about, you said you have was diagnosed with a nerve condition. Do you think like that was because you wasn't taking care, like, you know, putting yourself on the back burner and then taking care of everybody else, and the stress and the things that come with taking care of everybody else and trying to learn a balance, it created some type of anxiety of nerve condition because of the stress level of taking care of other people, not taking care of yourself?
Yes. And also, I believe that because, how can I put it? Undealt hatred and undealt unforgiveness can cause injury to you. Mm-hmm. I went through so much in my past that I buried it within inside of me, and I truly believe that that's what caused me to get sick, is because it was things that I didn't deal with. And I learned this through counseling. And that's why it's okay, African-American men and women, to get help. Because I understand, and I specify African-American, because we grew up with anything in this house stays in this house. Ain't nobody going to be in my business. You know, how can they talk to me, or whatever the case may be. You know what? Everything that you experience goes back to childhood. So as I dealt with everything in my life, I was more of the matriarch in my family. Like, everybody kind of comes to me for certain things or talk or whatever. And so I was trying to be that counselor for everybody else, but nobody was there for me. Right. And so in doing that, it was kind of like, and if within myself, it was kind of like I was taught, if you don't want your business spread, don't say nothing to nobody, because you hear it back. So I never really just, what? I'm not telling nobody my business, because I don't want my business spread it out amongst the streets, you know? So it's kind of like all of that stuff was playing in my mind. So I didn't get the help that I needed to deal with anything. So I kept and I held on to everything within inside of me. And so when I started getting the help that I need, I was messed up, because they started tapping into my childhood, start tapping into my divorce, start tapping into how I feel my blended family. I started tapping into stuff that I was uncomfortable tapping into, but I was needing to tap into, because that's where my healing came from.
Yeah.
That's where, like, as of today, I am healed from anything that, I might have the symptoms, but don't mean that I'm not healed. See, many people get it confused. They say, oh, well, I still got this going on with me. You know, I must not be healed. The devil is a lie. You just got some symptoms, and you need to ask yourself, why are you having these symptoms? Did you eat a burger and fries that morning? Did you go walking for 2 hours, knowing that you can't be on your feet all day? It's a cause and effect to everything.
Come on now.
Everybody wants to give the devil, oh, it's the devil. No, don't give him that much credit. It's you.
It's you. Come on.
It is you. What are you doing? Because let me tell you something about me. If I stand up on my feet all day, or if I walk around in the wrong shoes all day, you best believe my feet are going to be like Nutty Professor. Exactly. They're going to be big. They're going to be swollen. What I got to do? I got to elevate them. Maybe take an ibuprofen if needed. You know? Something. But everybody wants to blame somebody for their... for what's happening. So a lot of the things did come from the way I was eating, but it also came from unresolved issues, if you get what I mean. And so if you got somebody, if somebody's on this show and is listening, if you got any unresolved issues, that brings about hatred in you, that brings about unforgiveness in you, and you need to deal with it. You need to ask for forgiveness. First, forgive yourself, because what happens is the devil allows you to go through condemnation and cause you to blame yourself for a lot of stuff, or might be having you think differently about yourself, or maybe I'm not called to do God's will because I'm experiencing these feelings, and then the devil start lying to you about certain things, and now you're not walking in your calling because you feel like you're not meeting up to God's standard. God knew you was gonna fall. He said everybody fell short of the glory of God, but it's about you getting back and snapping back into your purpose.
It's
you saying, okay, you know what, devil? You're not going to play with my mind anymore.
Come on.
It's about you talking to you, telling yourself that you're going to walk in your purpose no matter how scared you are.
Come on.
You're going to walk into what you need to do no matter how you may feel about it.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things that God had to deal with me is, a lot of people are self-inflicting themselves with a lot of things, and they try to blame it on the devil. They try to blame it, but it's self-inflicting wounds.
Wow.
And they need to heal from the inside so that they can show up on the, it can show up on the outside.
Come on. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. You know,
that's good.
You have really, really ministered to us tonight. You know, I got on here to talk to my girl I ain't seen in a minute, you know. And it was overwhelming. When God told me to start inviting people from the show, your name was like one of the first names that came up. And I said, let me get on here, right? But we got to know that it's a divine appointment for everything. This is a divine appointment. You know, I've been watching the post on YouTube, and people are really responding, because this is a conversation that we gloss over. We you know, mental health, sweeping stuff under the rug, pulling stuff in. People are passive and people pleasing and holding stuff in, and we taking care of everybody, but we, you know, we not taking care of. So it's so much in this broadcast tonight that's gonna help somebody. It had to hit everybody, from fear, from people talking about fear, come on, but to purpose, to balancing, you know, knowing that you called, knowing you called to ministry, come on. But you got kids at home, come on, gotta go work. How do you deal with, you said get a calendar, get your agenda book, come on, use Google, you got a phone, you own it.
Digital.
What do you do towards your dream? Come on, do you do something every day towards it, or you sleep on the couch watching? Because my husband got the Fire Sticks, honey, and listen, I'll be 10 episodes, come on. But you know, you have been such a blessing tonight.
Thank you.
You have to come back on the show. You have to come with a topic, pray about it, Pray about it, because listen, you are like me. We got like this, this, this. Look, I have to set alarms to remind me that I got something to do. That's how bad it is. But I just want to say that you are blessed.
Thank you.
I want to say that I am happy that you joined us tonight. And I speak miracles and blessings over your life.
Thank you.
And I speak that doors are going to open. It's going to blow your mind. Yes. And I know that the king in your life, I met your husband. Your husband's been in a number of my events, you know, in the past. And girl, when God blessed you, he blessed you.
He did.
Somebody, look, you said he took care of you. See, and a lot of us don't understand that when God sends your real husband, I ain't going to talk about the counterfeits that y'all done married, but when God sends your real husband, come on. If you're one of them people that's scared to get sick because you don't trust your husband, let me move on.
It's for better, for worse, you know. And one of the things before I forget to say, because God is placing it in my spirit, he said failure. Most people think failure is bad, but it's not.
It's not.
You have to fail in order to learn. You have to go through failure. Failure, it was so funny because when I was experiencing like all of this stuff, they were like, failure is good. And I'm like, says who? Like what you mean failure is good? You know, and failure is good because you now have an experience that you can learn from, but you also have a goal that you can reach. And so to all of those people who got taught that you can't fail, you know, you X, Y, Z. Nope. You know, one of the things that I had to do was take out of my childhood that was good and throw away the bad stuff.
Throw it away.
Half the stuff that we got taught in childhood, if you really think about it, it was negative.
Oh, my God.
And so you got to really say, is that positive? Just like, for example, how are you doing? Ask somebody back in the day how they doing. I'm barely making it. Is that positive? You know, you're barely, my head above water.
Head above water. Oh, girl. Oh,
what in the world? These things was passed down from generations to generations because they were literally barely making it, but why are we still saying that now? Why are we still passing the same sayings down and the same impoverished mindsets down to the next generation and then expect for people to walk into wealth and prosperity? You know, some people are like, I don't like that word, prosperity. Well, I don't think you want to listen to a broke pastor. Next thing you know, he'll be like, oh, how he gonna talk about that wealth and he don't got no money himself?
He ain't got no money.
But then when he get money, how he gonna be a wealthy pastor? He taking the church money. You know, that's another subject within itself. Yeah. But let me tell you something. You want to be wealthy because that's a ministry within itself, because now you can do what God has called you to do. You can lend and not borrow.
Amen.
So you want to be in a position where you can not worry about finances so that you can do kingdom business.
Come on now.
And not have to worry about any of the extra stuff. You know, Pastor Jackson, you know what we experienced in Team Salvation? We walked in faith.
Yes.
Not fear. There was times where we didn't get stuff until 2-3 days before our event. And we done told people we're going to bless 500 people with backpacks and school supplies. And we're looking at Jesus like, okay, God, what is going to come from? Because it's 2 days before the event and we don't have anything. And God said you have to activate your faith.
You
have to be a faith walker. You got to call those things as not as though they were. You got to walk in faith so that it can be activated so that God can move. He's going to move out of faith, not out of fear.
Come on.
So failure is good, but don't stay down if you fail. You got to hurry up and get right back up. And then you got to push to your goals. You talked about goals. Write down the vision, make it plain. My husband and I, we have meetings for our family. We have meetings for our goals. We have meetings for our future, what we want our future to look like, what we want to see. And every time we write something down, it comes to pass. And the thing is, we're about to celebrate 11 years of marriage on October the 30th. Amen. And we wrote down where we wanted to go, and we're about to go there tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. So when you write down things and you make it plain, those things will come to pass. And you got to believe it. You got to believe it in your mind, your mouth, and your heart. All three has to be in alignment with each other, because you can't speak it, you can't have it in your heart, but your mind is saying something else. Now you're double-minded. And God says a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. So you want to make sure that you're stable in all of your ways so that you can fully walk into where God is wanting you to go.
Amen. Oh my God. Oh, she listen. Oh, such a powerful word. Well, I only if nothing else, like I said, let's get a benediction. If there's nothing else, we want to pray. Is there anything else you want to say, anybody?
I just want to tell y'all, I do have if y'all want to see me in a play, I do have a upcoming play called Wrath of a Broken Man. So to all the guys, you don't want to miss this. To all the guys and women, you don't want to miss it neither, because these guys are something else. So I'm telling you, I play Charlotte, and I am the wife of Bobby, and I am not the most supportive wife to a man who doesn't have a job. Put it like that. So if you want to see this play, I do have tickets. You can follow me on Facebook at Candace Blanks, Instagram on Lifeless 2017. That's Lifeless 2017 on Instagram, and you can follow me then.
Girl. God.
And I'm sorry, it's November 11th through the 13th is the play. So that's when it's gonna be.
And please tag me in the post, share it with me. I saw a video in Messenger, and I was crying laughing. Oh my God, I was crying laughing. We want to make sure we support. Praise God, amen. I want Rita to talk about the outreach this weekend.
Oh, yes. October 30th, I'm having Acts of Kindness. I have an organization called Acts of Kindness. And we're doing, this is our second quarter that we're doing the homeless feeding. So this Saturday at 11:30, I'm doing homeless feeding. We're doing nachos and drinks and giving out snacks to the homeless at downtown at, I forgot the name. What's the name? I'm trying to think it across streets. Yes, Hamilton and Cummins, I believe, at the corner of Hamilton and Cummins, will be there 11:30 on Saturday, giving out and feeding the homeless, just ministry, giving hope to the hopeless. So, and just sprinkling a little kindness in our world today. So if you can be there, support or donate, we're still like needing drinks. That's why I was laughing at when you was telling about the we have a event, and 2 days before the event, you still like, look, I done told these people. I'm like, that was me the other day. I was like, oh my Lord. And so it's kind of getting a bit discouraged, and then God bless and touch somebody and say, here go $100. I was like, woo, thank you. So it's just a blessing, you know, like you said, how God works. You got to continue to just trust him, even when it's not in our timing. So Yes, so that was a huge blessing to be able to get some of the stuff, a lot of the stuff actually that I was lacking, and I'm grateful for that. So if you're available and you want to come out and support and just give out some love and some hope to the people that's, less fortunate than you are, that's where we'll be on Saturday.
So how can someone donate to the cause?
Tangible items, I arrange pickup, or if you want to do a monetary donation, my Cash App is the money sign PMPD. So, and then you can just donate whatever you like to bless with. And I always tell people, no donation is too small. So the more we have, the more we can bless the people. So.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Florida.
Tiffany, we'll be at downtown Houston, at Cumberland and Hamilton Street. It's a parking lot right there, right by the Astro, no, right by the Minute Maid Park.
All right. Glory, would you like to say something about closing remarks?
Was that, did she freeze?
I think she's frozen.
Okay, she's frozen. Okay, so all right, woman of God, we want to thank you for coming on the show with us tonight. So we'll take this moment just humble ourselves under who the anointing was on tonight, and allow you to just go ahead and pray. Amen. Pray us on out. Amen.
Amen. Father God, I ask you, Lord God, to just thank you. Lord God, you directed this TV show on tonight, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you that I decrease, that you may increase, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that whoever may be watching, Lord God, if there was somebody that was needing what was said on today, Lord God, let them be blessed and let them walk into their purpose and their calling, Lord God, without fear, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for bringing the resources, Lord God, for everybody. Lord God's business or whatever venture or avenue that they might be going into, Lord God, that they would not be weary in their well-doing, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing every host on this show, Lord God, from Rita to Miss Queenie, Lord God, to Glory, Lord God, and myself as well, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for every viewer, Lord God. Lord God, if they don't know you and they might be watching and want to get to know you, Lord God, knowing that they could be in their home, Lord God, and give their life to you on today, Lord God, that they all they have to do is confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you have died and you was raised again, Lord God, and they shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, for saving those people who are needing to be saved, delivering those people who are needing to be delivered, healing those people who are needing to be healed, Lord God. And I thank you for it right now. Forgive us of all of our sins and our iniquities, Lord God. Change us from the inside out, Lord God. We thank you in advance for all the things that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the calling that you have on our lives, Lord God, for walking into the purpose, Lord God, that you have designed for us to walk into, Lord God. And we thank you for it right now, Lord God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord God, that somebody is wanting a husband, Lord God. Somebody is wanting a wife, Lord God. Send them their helpmeet, Lord God. Open up their eyes, Lord God, so that they can see the person that you have designed for them to have, Lord God. Somebody is wanting to write a book, Lord God, or to do poetry, Lord God, but don't know where to start. Give them the words, Lord God. Give them the witty ideas, Lord God. Lord God, whatever they're in need of, let them have it, Lord God. Give it to them. Send the Holy Spirit. Let us activate our angels right now, Lord God, from the north, south, east, and the west, Lord God, to come into our homes, come into our workplace, Lord God. Bind up anger, bind up frustration, bind up envy, jealousy, strife, Lord God. Anything that is hindering our walk with you, Lord God, we bind it up right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for taking us to higher heights and new dimensions, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that in this season, Lord God, that you would take us in the midst of a pandemic, Lord God, that you would take us to where you want us to take us, that this pandemic will not scare us for walking into our calling, for walking into our purpose, Lord God, because we are a greater he that is in us than he that's in the world, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you and we love you and we lift you up, God, and we magnify you, Lord God, and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We are in gratitude of the things that you have done for us already and the things that you are going to do for us, Lord God. And so we say thank you in advance. And we praise you and we love you and we lift you up, God. We thank you, Lord God, for no lack in anybody's home, Lord God. And whatever they might be, it's not just money, God. It might be peace, Lord God, Jehovah Shalom. It might be understanding, God. It might be just a loving spirit that needs to come in the home. Whatever a person is in need of, Lord God, on today, let it be so. And we thank you and we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, we speak with power and authority and we declare and decree, let your will be done. You said in your word, when two agree on one accord, it shall be done. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We love you all. Thank you for joining us on the show again. Y'all join us next week. 8 p.m. We love you, and there's nothing you could do about it.